Have with me via phone this morning Colonel Derek Duke. Can you hear us, Colonel?
I can.
All right, excellent. The reason that I wanted to talk to you, people may not know that name, but you are, well, I've been talking about this for the last few days, unbeknownst to many people. During the 1950s, 1960s, America actually lost several of its nuclear weapons, and one of them it lost off the coast of Georgia, off of a small island called Tybee, and you are leading the search for that weapon, correct?
That is correct.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about the history of the search for that weapon? First of all, what did the military do to try to find it, and why have they stopped?
Well, in 1958, in February, when the mid-air collision between the bomber and a Air Defense Command fighter practicing an intercept occurred on the Georgia-South Carolina border, the fighter crashed. The pilot, fortunately, was saved by bailing out. But the bomber crew elected to enable a safe landing by jettisoning the Mark 15 hydrogen bomb just east of Savannah, Georgia, where they were trying to land at Hunter Air Force Base. And that jettison put the bomb in the sound called Wausau, which is basically where the Atlantic Ocean comes into the Wilmington River, which runs into Savannah itself. And they searched in the muddy, shallow-bottomed waters for two hard months and just couldn't find it. So there were a lot of pressure from other accidents that were happening then. In fact, in March of that same year, they had an accident resulting in an atomic bomb without the capsule being dropped on Florence, South Carolina, some 200 miles to the north, and that bomb detonated with high explosives. So that's one of the reasons that they stopped.
Okay.
And they didn't think they could find it.
Yeah. Now, your group has developed over the years. First of all, when did your group start searching?
10 years ago.
And you have developed some technologies that are kind of unique technologies in order to try to find this. I know I was watching a special on the Discovery Channel about your efforts, and this is an ongoing set of efforts because you haven't located it yet, but you've been finding or you've been using new technologies to do this. Tell us a little bit about those efforts.
Well, when first of all, the Discovery Science Channel production by Mirabella Productions out of New York, called America's Lost H-Bomb, really is a definitive statement on the science behind what we've been doing. It features a lot of what we've been doing. My book, Chasing Loose Nukes, available online, talks about that. What we did in 2004, we had discovered what we thought was significant radiation patterns in Wausau Sound using some of that technology, such
right.
as an adapted underwater Geiger counter.
Uh-huh.
Underwater housing. And, you know, this story is really a saga now. We've been at it so long, and it's touched so many people that of significance that your listeners would know. John Travolta, right there yesterday in his Boeing 707, is a little bit tangential to this story. But the underwater housing was designed by his production manager, location manager for one of his movies, the General's Daughter, and that was Harris Parker of Savannah, Georgia. So we used
okay.
that very successfully to get radiation.
Yeah.
And that prompted the Air Force to send a search team in September of 2004. That search team used to be called a Nuclear Emergency Search Team, kind of scary.
Yeah, NESTA, yep.
And they changed the name to one of those generic, not mean anything, government names, but at any rate, they're the ones that were responsible for covering the White House area in Washington, D.C., as well as the Florida team.
Right.
We didn't find it. And they fell back to their established historic position of it's not findable, irretrievably lost.
Okay.
We have continued to develop technology because, I mean, the nuclear issue still is in our face every day. We've got a rise in oil prices yesterday due to the continuing Iranian nuclear dilemma. So in page 141 of my book, I mention what's ahead technology-wise in trying to find such things as this missing bomb or determine other nuclear security issues.
Right.
And we're still involved in that, but I'm not free to speak about it today. I mean, what we're doing is cutting edge, and there are significant people involved that can make an impact on that.
Yeah, and it's, as you said, it's technology that is usable, adaptable to a lot of the threats, you know, regardless just finding a lost bomb, but a lot of the threats that are facing the United States today.
Well, and I took great interest in your interview with the Border Security Patrol. Everyone is interested in developing the technology that will give us the edge over forces that threaten us in the ways that really hammered us on September of 9/11,
yep.
2001.
Now, one of the things that I would think would concern a lot of people is that this weapon, the Tybee bomb itself, has been lying in ocean water for, you know, so many years now and degrading. We all know that explosives can be become unstable as they degrade. How much of a concern is it? How much of a risk is there of this thing just detonating because it's degraded to the point where it might go off?
Well, the high explosives in the weapon are a concern because there's a lot of nuclear material. Now, the bomb weighed almost 8,000 pounds. That's 4 tons.
Uh-huh.
The government's insistence that the nuclear package was basically a 14-pound plutonium capsule was not with the weapon. They maintain, okay, it's really not a threat to detonate nuclear.
Well, now, I've heard both. I've heard that they said that it wasn't there, and then at some point changed their story, and then changed their story back.
That has been so controversial, I've had to almost back away from my insistence that it is. It's detailed in my book. It's talked about on the Discovery Channel. I mean, the pilot, and again, these are all honorable people. The pilot of the plane shows his paperwork that it was not there.
Right.
There's other paperwork. I've asked for paperwork from the armory, et cetera. I mean, these capsules were tracked very meticulously.
Yeah.
And, you know, that has not been forthcoming. So there's some open issues. But at this late stage, after all this time, we may very well have a pristine bomb. That's detailed on the Discovery Channel.
Uh-huh.
The Science Channel, that it could have been cocooned. However, it's such a precise instrument, I doubt that they could be certainly nowhere near the detonation potential that was originally designed. However, there is still a lot of nuclear material and high explosives in close proximity together.
Well, now, as you said, the weapon itself, 8,000 pounds, and you'd think, how can you not be able to find something like that? Why is it such a problem to find?
Well, I spent a lot of days and hours with search teams out there. That's a very rough environment. It's where the coastline of the United States coming up from Florida turns from a northwesterly direction to a northeasterly direction. And the maritime conditions there are daunting. We had to delay our search in 2004 because there was a hurricane coming by. And that was a 3-day delay. And when we got out there, the whole seascape had changed from just before. And we had sand and mud moved in significant amounts. I could see the sandbar changes. And that made searching for radiation even more difficult.
So this is not it's not something like people would think when they see aerial shots off the coast of Florida where you've got the blue water that you can see the bottom. We're talking pretty murky conditions and pretty turbulent water here.
That's correct. In fact, they say that the average water depth out there is from 12 to 27 feet, followed by about that much mud before we get to what they were concerned about, if there was a detonation, of breaking through the sub-bottom.
Right.
And polluting the Florida aquifer with nuclear material. And that was an issue that still concerns me.
Uh-huh. Now, you have, as you said, you've mentioned, you have documented your history of these efforts in a book, Chasing Lost Nukes. Where is that book available?
That book is available online at lulu.com, but anyone that just searches for it via whatever search engine they care to use, it will come up the number one answer, Chasing Lost Nukes.
And we've got that. We've got your website connected to our webpage for folks who are walking around the grounds, may not have a pencil with them. You can find all these websites at 1490wosh.com. We've got them up there as well as the interviews. In a couple of weeks, they'll be posted there as well. What is there for the future? I know you can't talk a lot of your involvement with the military currently, with the technologies, but what's in store in the future for this particular search, for the search for the Tybee bomb?
Well, we have to wait on something that will give us a more definitive position of the bomb. And that was basically stated by the search team in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Until we got something that can enable us to do a better job of locating it, it was just not findable with current technology. It might be stumbled upon, but given the amount of resources they were willing to put into it, it's just not doable. Now, we have a new chief of staff in the United States Air Force,
yep.
General Norton Schwartz, and he personally talked with me about that search and helped set that search up. He's been promoted to his new job to address our nation's nuclear issues within the Air Force, and at some point in time, I feel sure if there's technology available that will readdress finding the Tybee bomb and making it a safe, if you will, as we can, given
yep.
the fact that it's been down there so long. A lot of issues involved with recovery. The danger's there.
So if folks go out, you search just for Tybee bomb or Colonel Derek Duke, or look for Chasing Lost Nukes. Again, that's your book. They can find this online or check at 1490wosh.com. Colonel, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us this morning. Unfortunately, at this point, we're going to have to break away, and then we will be back in a few minutes with our live continuing coverage of EAA AirVenture 2008 on News Talk 1490 WOSH. Thank you again, Colonel.